I got some sons going to come sing for us, Like a River Glorious.
Appreciated that. They sang at one of the nursing homes last week, that song, and so I asked him to sing again today. What a beautiful, beautiful song that is. Amen. Brother Steve's going to come preach for us now. God bless you.
Amen. If you take your Bibles and turn into John, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 1. We'll start there today. I had a request for my message today, not about my message, but a request that someone wants to stay awake. So if I see this someone getting a little dozed off, I've got permission to even use his name. So hopefully he'll stay awake. I won't have to use his name or anything drawing attention to him. But or maybe I'll just try to do something like I've been drinking coffee or something and keep you awake. But I haven't had any coffee, so we'll see. Just a little tea. All right, well, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon our time together today here. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time we can gather together around your word. Lord, your word truly is the source of all we need. Lord, here to be fishes, physician, I can't even say it. Lord, fully equipped, I'll say that. in all godliness and knowledge and goodness and righteousness. And Lord, we thank you for the power that you give us, Lord, if we're saved, Lord, to even understand your word. And I pray you, Lord, help us today. Many of these verses should be very familiar that we go over today. But Lord, I don't get tired of hearing verses from the Bible. They're an encouragement to me. They're a blessing to me. Lord, it keeps me going focused down the right path. Lord, I pray this bless our time together today as we meditate upon your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if I get confused or get off track, just say something to me. I was out going door to door with Pastor and some of my sons yesterday. Pastor and I had gone to a door, and I don't think we found anybody at that door at that time, particular time. But on our way back to the car, we were walking back toward the car, and we're looking over to the side, and I saw that we're working on some kind of landscaping or something. Pastor goes, I wonder if they're going to build a garage over there or something. He's got garages on his mind, I think, because every time we see one of those cheaply made aluminum structures, you know, like maybe we could store float in, he's thinking about that. So be praying about if we should have something to store float in here. Anyway, I saw this place that he was looking at, and I'm saying, well, maybe it's for that camper that they got parked here, because I think campers lately, because I had stayed in one. Anyway, it's funny how the mind works. And so anyway, we're just walking back to the car, and I wasn't really paying attention where I was going, and Pastor was on the other side of the vehicle, so I didn't really see him, and I had my eyes on this other spot over here, and so I go up to the door and try the door, and it's locked. Well, the door got locked. I'm looking in, wait a minute, this is black. Something. It's the wrong car. It's like the car is over here. It's like, oh, I'm glad the people weren't home. Hopefully they didn't have any cameras out there, because that'd be really, I'd be look like a thief, like I'm checking their car. It was locked. I'm not a thief. It's just confused, I guess. I'm not paying attention, sleepy, whatever. It's like, is this a sign of getting old? I hope not. It's like, I feel bad for my family. It's got to take care of me. Wow. Okay, anyway. So today we're going to talk about being born again. That's on my mind, too. You know, if you got a pastor's birthday this week, that's something to celebrate. You know, we like birthdays and we like fellowships. And by the way, tonight, fellowship, don't forget that. And then we've got a dog that's expecting any day now. It's going to have puppies, okay, so that's another birth kind of thing. I got a daughter that's expecting, you know, December, January. And that's always been an event with her, too, because, you know, one of them was born at the gas station there in Ionia. That was on a Father's Day. I'll never forget that, okay? So birth is an eventful time in our lives, okay? So I thought, well, that's how appropriate. Let's talk about that today. And there's a lot of things that carry over the birthing process, all that's centered around that. To the process of being born again, something to meditate. So, you know, I like, well, Jesus did it often too. You know, he would point to something physical and then tell a story about something spiritual. And it's good to see, it's good to have things in our mind that we look at something physical and quickly reminds us something spiritual. So it's a good practice, discipline to have in your life. So we'll look at some things and some ideas for maybe you can see, when you see things, you can think of spiritual things. So the being physically born, it is an exciting event. And it's all about family and friends and who do we tell first? We just have to, you know, make sure we tell them in order, or make sure, you know, can we talk about it publicly now? You know how those things go through your mind, because you don't want to take the excitement away from the parents, the excited parents, to spread the news, right? So anyway, it's a happy time. So that's the physical birth, but the spiritual birth. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read first John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth, and where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And if you want to jump over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We'll be talking about more about that verse later. And then turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. All right, so it's clear that a man must be born again. I'm sure you already know that. Hopefully you've all experienced it. It is an event that happens once. You don't continuously, you get born physically, you get born once. Spiritually, you get born once. Now, there might be some confusion where, did I get spiritually born? Sure, I understand that, because you want to know for sure. You want to know for sure you aren't, but we're not necessarily looking at all that today. But around the event of birth, it is an exciting time. The news travels fast, especially on social media these days. We have so many more ways to communicate. But let's look who also rejoices at that spiritual birth. I want you to turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 4. Luke 15:4. What of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he is cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over the 99 that just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So here we go, an example of spiritual rebirth. There's joy. There's joy in heaven. There's joy amongst family members. We get excited when our kids get saved. We get excited when a neighbor gets saved. We get excited when a parent gets saved. We you know, especially when we pray for so long for some of these salvations. What other physical attributes of the natural birth can we look at today? How about all of the helpers in the events leading up to the birth, and including the birth and after the birth, that, as far as that goes, that are involved around waiting on that birth of that new child? I'm really thankful for, you know, because we had a few first children in the hospital, and I was thankful for the help we received there. And then we had more of them either at a birthing center or at home, in home birth. And I'm very thankful for the help we received there, yeah? I can still very clearly hear Mr. and Mrs. Hayden, when I'm talking to them on the phone and waiting for them to get there, hear them crunching down Stanton Road over the bumps in their van, just coming to get, because I'm like, the baby's about ready to be born, right? So I'm really thankful that she made it. So we are thankful for all the helpers and help that we get that are centered around the birth. And even Mr. Hayden, one time, he was playing games in the other room with the rest of the kids, entertaining them while Mrs. Hayden was in helping my wife have that baby. So there's a host of help that we all can do, whether it's, you know, related to helping somebody birth, but then we'll begin to think about spiritually, so all the helpers and the people that are involved in one's coming to know the Lord as their Savior. Let's take a peek at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, give an example there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and starting in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Yeah, so we have all kinds of helpers and people's possibilities of coming to the Lord. You know, some are praying, some are saying a word of encouragement, some are giving the truth. There's a host of things. You know, what can you think of that, you know, was what led you, what person prodded you to come to the Lord? You know, what influence, you know, so what influence can we have on others to see them get born again? Now, another attribute of the physical birth. That baby really doesn't have the power to come out of the womb on its own, right? It's called labor. And that's, then whose labor is it? It's mom's labor. She's the one that has to work to push that baby out. And yeah, she's the one that has to go through the pain. Well, that's a parallel too. There's a lot of effort that goes into delivering that baby, and the baby is powerless, really, to do it. I mean, imagine the baby at some point would want to come out. It gets crowded in there, but it's still, it has no power in its in and of itself to get out of there. Neither can a person get saved by his own power. It's now we got to want it, but we don't have the power. Let's turn back to John chapter 1 and reread. John 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, getting born again is not something that we can do. So you get that. It's not something we can do. Now we got to want it. Now we got to request it. That's why we ask for it, because we can't do it. We want to get saved. We want to repent. We want to agree with God. And recognize that we're not worthy and we're not able. It's all his power to get saved. Let's take a peek at Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 6. Acts 1, 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the season which the Father hath put in his power. Just another verse recognizing God's power. But in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So it's by God's power again. Now, what other characteristics about the birth, the birthing process? Would the child might be a little bit like a relative? You know, what's quite often we look at babies and say, wow. That baby doesn't look nothing like that, or that baby looks like so-and-so, or that baby looks like, you know, we're always, you know, trying to figure out, you know, which characteristics that baby has, and sometimes it's mixed. Well, it's usually mixed, but it's interesting to observe children as they grow and how they change and what they look like, and even their personalities sometimes come out. It's amazing. I've seen some personalities in my children that kind of remind me of different relatives, and that's an interesting thing to watch. But when a person gets born again, who are we going to be like? Let's take a peek at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. 1 John 3, I'm sorry. Verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Yeah, so, you know, children usually are a lot like their parents, right? And when we're getting born again, we've got a new Father in heaven. And hopefully we're starting to become like him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 29. Romans 3, 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? I wonder if I wrote the wrong verse down there. I did. I'm sorry, I can't remember where it's at. Oh, well, you know that we're supposed to be conformed to the image of his son. And when we get born again, we begin to, it's a new, you become a new person. You get a heart change. You begin acting more like your Father in heaven. Now, what else about the natural birth, physical birth, is there? Don't you get a name? And how do you pick out a name? Your parents remember looking at names books and trying to figure out what name to use. You usually look at the meaning of the names. You think of people that already have such a name, and oh no, I don't want to use that name because they remind me. I don't want them to turn out like that, right? So y'all be good with your name, all right? Don't wreck a name, okay? Because we don't want to have any bad associations with our names. Hopefully we'll make some good ones. Why isn't anybody named Steve? Use the name Steve. Yeah, I don't know. Just kidding. Well, there's some that use the middle name there. That's okay. And it's scary to think about. You know, if I name my little baby that name, is they going to become like that? Now I remember. You know, like Reese and Stacy. You know how Charlie got named, right? After that man right up there, Charles Wesco, and because he made an impact. He was a diligent person. He was busy all the time at his Father in Heaven's business, and he was on fire for the Lord. He had very ministry mind, very walking with God, and so they wanted a name, you know, a child after him, you know, to honor him. And then maybe pick up some characteristics, because names are powerful. Let's look at some examples about some other powerful names in the Bible, and very important, one of the best, in fact, examples. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Y'all know this one. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, there's an important meaning in that name, isn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. Also, back up a couple verses there to 21. 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we know that Jesus means Savior. So there's a wonderful name there. And names are powerful. Let's look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 10. Philippians 2:10. I like this verse. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That his name is a powerful name. And let's take a peek at Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's take a peek at John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 12. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do. So what do we end most of our prayers with? In Jesus' name, right? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is the most powerful name that anyone can recognize. All right, so we've got a baby just born they're hungry. What, help me out, everybody. What's the first thing you feed a baby? Milk, right? Everybody knows that, right? Okay. Now, whether it's milk formula mixed up from the grocery store or it's mama's own personal milk, it's a known fact that all babies, mammals too, right? All mammals need milk. And mama's milk just happens to be perfectly formulated, perfectly balanced in nutrition. And it's the best food for a little baby, you know? When babies are hungry, they cry. You know, that's about the only... One of the only things they can do, they know to do when they're born, is to cry. You don't have to teach them that. Cry and lie. As they get older, they will lie. You don't have to teach them that. They will lie, proving that we are born in trespasses and sins. And then when we get older, the sad thing is, when we get older and have the cognitive consciousness and know something's wrong, what do? We do it anyway, right? Proving that we're sinners and need a Savior. Anyway, God has the milk, right, for the newborn believer, right? You all know that verse, right? Let's take a quick peek at that. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. What did I say? I'm in 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2. Here it is. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So God's got a perfect formula for newborns, and that's in his word. And we need to desire it. Hopefully you desire it. Usually people do desire this when they get saved. They usually desire, they're looking for more answers. Because you got everything. I'm just like a baby that's born, you've got everything to learn. You know nothing except to cry and lie. You know nothing, and you have to be taught. And usually a new believer is hungry for the word of God. He usually will soak this up. It's good nutrition for us when we're saved and for the rest of our lives. You all know this verse by heart too. 2 Timothy... chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3:16. There it is. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right, so we have it here. The perfect nutrition for us, it lasts us as long as we're alive on this earth, and it can feed us. We can be healthy, spiritually healthy through this book. There's no other book that is perfect for us. You might find a helpful book, but it might be skewed in an off direction. You might be deceived. But this book, if you read it and read it and read it, it'll help define itself too. This book is a self-defining book. And you'll use one verse to interpret another verse, and interpret another. It's a building block of nutrition there. So, like I said before, when we're first coming to this earth, we only know how to cry and lie, and we need to learn everything. Let's take a peek at Psalms 25. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. And then another one, Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So here again, we got all the stuff we need to learn is right here. We got to meditate on it. Let's see, maybe we have time for, maybe one more here. You know, physical birth, you know, what's the purpose in that? What's usually, you know, there's a purpose. I mean, like for a parent, there's different purposes for having children. You know, maybe it's just plain simple obeying the command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. For others, it might be to carry on a family name or whatever. You know, people have different reasons, I guess, for wanting to have a baby. Some want to have a baby and can't. But there is, it does bring purpose. And just a couple examples in the Bible of purpose, born for a purpose. If you just take a peek at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anath, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That's amazing. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It's like, wow, Jeremiah, he was definitely born for a purpose. And just maybe another one here. Isaiah 9, you know, you all this memorized. Isaiah 9, 6. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there is purpose for every single one of us. It happens to be that Jesus' purpose is vastly higher than ours. He was born without sin. He was God in the flesh. He was a different kind of individual than we are. He's 100% God and 100% man. That time and forever. It's hard for us to understand the height of that thought. But surely, each one of us is born for a purpose. And are we seeking it? Are we yielding to it? And, you know, are our purposes heavenly instead of earthly? So as you think about the birth, the natural birth of a baby, and all that's around it, you can think about how it relates to all the things that are spiritual around that spiritual birth compared to the earthly birth. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to consider all these parallels with the physical and with the spiritual. And it should remind us, Lord, of all the wonderful things that you've done. Obviously, you are in control of both the physical and the spiritual. We've certainly marred our physical attribute ever since the Garden of Eden. And every single little child that's born is crying and lying and needs a Savior. And it's not by their own power that they get saved. It's by yours. It's by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sins, and him dying and being buried and being risen the third day, showing and proving that your righteous requirements have been made through your holy Son Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a very important name. It's a precious name. It's a name that we should honor and love and cherish. And it's a name that I think of when I think of power, of healing, of righteousness. And to think that you have been willing to place the righteousness of Jesus on every born-again believer is an amazing thought. And yet, after receiving that, we still struggle with sin. Why? Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us to make the words in your Bible true in our life. And when we sin, we confess it because we know that you're faithful and just to cleanse us, forgive us for all our unrighteousness. Lord, help us to keep a short account of our sin. Lord, help us not to pay attention to, hang on to sin that's in our heart. Lord, help us quick. Acknowledge it and get rid of it. Confess it and get forgiven. Lord, thank you that our performance or our activity, our living for salvation is not, it doesn't affect our salvation, the fact that we're born again. But we want, even though we're saved once, and it happens, it's a thing that happens once born, and then once reborn, spiritual. We're thankful it happens once, and it can't be changed. It's locked in. But boy, can we mess up some good fellowship. Boy, can we mess up a good heavenly walk with you. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us to keep our minds focused on you. I pray you to help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, you want to lead us?